Shooters, your preparation period has ended. With 10 rounds, load. Is the line ready? Ready on the right, ready on the left, all ready on the firing line. Fire! Yes, these are one of the commands you'll hear as you're shooting a course of fire. Also, you'll have great instruction from beginner to expert level and great history as you attend Canada's very first inaugural maple seed. Yes, the dates for that are July 25th and 26th in Bancroft, Ontario, Canada. Please join us. Eh?
Let the show begin. You guys have fun out there today.
Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content is simply the opinions of the hosts and our guests. So, without delay, let me introduce our hosts, George, Tom, and Kelly.
Hello, and welcome to episode 39 of New Shooter Canada. First of all, I'd like to wish all the dads out there a very happy Father's Day. Hope you guys did a lot of shooting, and part of our main topic this week will be covering off the survey results and some range safety tip that Thomas is going to bring us. So stay tuned for that. And as always, we will start with what we did in guns. So Thomas, why don't you start us off this week?
What I did with guns. Well, the Vortex Spark arrived, and I'm quite impressed with it. It's really, really bright indoors. It's not going to be really practical for indoors because it's so much glare on it. Outdoors, it was flawless. I was really impressed with it. And my long-term ATT finally arrived. Unfortunately, mine now has restrictions that I have to have an invitation to the ranges because I have the updated ATT. But when the common sense kicks in, hopefully that won't be a thing to do. Yeah.
Now, you were talking about the Vortex Spark. Have any troubles getting any batteries for it?
No, this is the Spark 2. The Spark 1 has a 2356. It's some strange number, and nobody can get any batteries for it. I know JT, he has a Spark, and he's been looking for 6 months, and nobody has them in stock at all. So this one just takes the regular, I think it's the 232 button battery that you just get the dollar store. I get three for a buck.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's nice. The adjustment caps are actually threaded with steel cables to the body of the scope, so you don't have to worry about losing your caps if you take any adjustments on it. It's got an automatic shutoff. It came with lens covers. It's smaller and a little more compact than my Bushnell, so the balance point's nicer in the hand. I think indoors, it's not really practical. I'm not really happy with it indoors. Even though it shot really well, it's so bright, it's distracting because the glare on it. Uh-huh. So I was thinking of building another one. And the Bushnell was perfect indoors because the dot was so small and it was perfectly circular, very, very tiny. You can put it in the 10 ring and just rest it there nicely. There's a competition shooter, I think her name's Cheyenne Dalton, and she uses a Volks Quartzen upper and lower, and it's basically it's a 2245 that's built from the factory, compensated, and it's set up for a red dot, and this thing looks sweet. So I think maybe what I'll do is get myself another 22 and have one for indoors and one for outdoors.
Why not?
I sold a couple of guns, so I should buy a couple.
22s for everybody.
I probably got 8 or 9 22s downstairs anyway. Took my mom shooting today.
Oh, yes. I did mention that.
How was that?
She had a great time. She was my spotter. Well, I sighted in the 2245, and I showed her how to do it. Sit down, I put a target beside her. I said, okay, mom, so where you see it, I said, point to it so I know where the bullets are. So she spotted for me to sight in the 2245. And that I took up my Marlin 597 to the range because I need something for silhouette at the charity shoot since I lent somebody my competition rifle for a couple months. So when I got the Savage Access, it came with that crappy scope. So I just took the crappy scope and I put it on the 597 and I tightened it all down and I put it in the safe, and I haven't touched it since I got the Axis 2 years ago. So I pulled it out tonight, put it on the bench, and sighted it in. My mom's doing the scoring, and I fired off 10 rounds. And she goes, "They're all in the same hole." I said, "Really?" She goes, "Yeah." She goes, "Right in the center." I put all 10 shots in the X-ring, and the scope wasn't even sighted in.
Well, see, there's nothing wrong with taking your scope off and putting it back on.
But I didn't take the rails off, and I put it on a different gun. But this is a cheap bullshit.
You know, at first, when you were just starting to tell this, I thought for sure you were going to say, "Oh, I took it off and then gave it to George." Because he gave me that Tasco, right? I did. I thought you were about to say, "Oh, I took it off and then ended up giving it to George."
It's probably equivalent to the Tasco. It's the budget rifle that Savage throws in with the package deals. And I wasn't impressed with it, so I just took it off and threw it on the 22 and put a Nikon on my 270. But I've never mounted optics on a gun, and not bore sighted or anything, and just took to the range and just put 10 shots in the center without having to do any adjustments. I did a little happy dance around the range. My mom couldn't figure out what I was doing. She said, "That's never happened before in my life." Just dead on right from mounting it. So that was fun.
That's cool.
She shot the 22-45 and she shot the 597. I brought the Grand Power with me, but she wasn't into shooting 9mm.
No.
She said next time. So, you know, she's 71. If I can still take her shooting and have fun with her, that's good. And I think that's about it. But I do want to get one of those, Quartzen's little 22 compensated pistols with the red dots. It was so sweet.
Now, did you hear the commercial for the charity shoot that somebody submitted to Slamfire?
Mark Price,
you
yes.
Are
yeah,
famous.
I heard that.
I'm insane.
You are famous. The compensated 22 with the red dot.
That's Trevor's fault, eh? He started that at the first charity shoot I went. It was back in Galt when it was Reload Radio, and I shot up against him. He was ticked that... I was surprised that I beat Trevor. But he didn't like the fact that I won it with a 22 with a red dot and a compensator.
I'll save that for what I did in guns.
Okay. Well, Mark was a guy that I sent. He messaged me and asked me if I was using the large grip on my Grand Power and if I wasn't to sell it to him.
Oh, is that who it was?
Him up the larger grip. Yeah, that's.
When was that?
He probably got it about a month ago.
I was going to say, probably a couple months ago. That's. Started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the guy that's got the I think his son's Justice and Marcus, I believe. I know one is Marcus. And Trevor took him to the Machine Gun Museum a few weeks ago.
Cool.
Yeah, so he's friends with the guy at Slamfire.
It's on a hilarious commercial. It's funny.
Did you see the what's the video ones that he does? The Jibber Jab?
I have no idea.
Oh really? I haven't seen them.
Yeah, they're animated videos. He did one a couple of Christmases ago of Matthew cutting down a Christmas tree. And I'm telling you, if you can find this video, it is hilarious. But he's put up a couple of videos for the guys. Fun. Looking forward to meeting Mark in a few days.
Cool.
He's got to pay me for the grip, too, so I'll get some money off him. Reminder, Mark, reminder. And shipping.
Yeah, kill him. Give me your gas receipts.
Oh, yeah, I never thought about it. Add the gas. No, I mailed it to him. What you do in this week? Oh, Kelly, I tried some of that Anguilla that you're talking about, too. I didn't get the high velocity. I got the standard velocity.
Yeah.
It's super accurate. I was very impressed with it.
Well, it's my ammo for maple seed now.
So high what you velocity. Do?
Well, okay. So yesterday I went and did an ATT course at Brockville Rod and Gun Club. They're still going to actually require people to do their ATT courses at the range. So when did that one yesterday, it was pretty good. Basically everything that I learned in the restricted course, I learned there as well. There was five other people taking it. They were all guys. A little bit older, a couple of younger guys as well. It was actually pretty good. It was put on by two of the older directors. I the guys that were, I was with, they had some questions about the different guns, like what is single action, what's double action, and I had to get the guys running the courses to describe it. I asked them if they wanted to actually describe what a striker fire was as well. They didn't really want to do that.
It's not in the course outline.
It's not in the course outline, no. Yeah. But the guys were asking, and the guys were asking what guns they should actually buy. I thought it was really funny because they were there. None of them had the restricted license yet. None of them have bought anything yet. But they obviously wanted to come to the range, and they wanted to get their ATT to bring the restricted firearm handguns to the range. The two guys that were running the course there, as I said, they were a little bit older. Both really, really, really nice gentlemen, but they are definitely old school. They said when I asked about striker fire, again, because the guys were asking about what type of, they were talking 1911s, they were talking Glocks, they were talking about revolvers, and they just wanted to know what the differences were in that as well. So the instructors, they weren't too keen in talking about Glocks. They said we're old school and we like revolvers, and you know, Glocks are nice because of the fact that you can do everything to them. You can freeze them in a block of ice and then, you know, chip them out and they'll still be functioning and all that, but they're plastic guns. So, and we, you know, they said it's a safety course, we don't really talk about that. But they were talking about how all the actions work on the single and double action and all that. And I'm going, okay. We did actually get, as part of the safety course, they want us to show how we can actually go through the actions on the guns. And so we got up and did some, dry fire, and then we went out actually onto the range, onto the firing line, and we did some firing. We were supposed to get 10 shots onto a piece of paper at the 12-yard line. So
you could do it.
All of us got them. All of us got it. I had to shoot again, and another guy had to shoot again. And I had to shoot again, but I counted 10 on my paper. But, hey, I figured I could go through again.
You just wanted to shoot some more, that's all.
Right. So when they got us to shoot, I thought this was really weird. Like, the guys that I was doing the course with, they had all fired handguns before. One guy was particularly good. What they got us to fire was, they were their guns, because of the fact that none of us are supposed to have any of our own handguns because they're restricted, right? And we haven't, anyways, and we couldn't bring our guns to that range without this ATT course. So they had us fire their guns. And so they had us fire a Ruger 357 Magnum and a Beretta 40 cal. When I went to the firing line, I'm going, what are we firing? And they said, these are the, and I went, okay. And then one of the instructors said to me, well, you can fire a 22 if you want, but it's a target pistol. It's the Ruger Mark II target pistol with the red dot, but you'd have to fire it inside the, there's a house there that we do for pistol inside, he said, because it's not much of a challenge. So I'm going, but it's a safety course. You just want to make sure that we do what we're supposed to. But anyways, okay, so I fired the Beretta, and it has a little bit more kick than my 9mm.
Yeah, sure.
And I didn't like the Ruger 357 Magnum at all. I put 5 in each of them. I got all 5 on the target. They said to fire again, so I put another 5 into the Beretta. I chose the semi-automatic, and with that, I got it into the center, you know, bullseye, and then a close grouping after that. I figured, hey, if you want me to shoot again, I'll shoot again, and it was actually pretty good. I really enjoyed going into the house afterwards, because we did set up the Ruger Mark II, and we were actually firing at the reactive targets. So we've set up some balloons, and there's tennis balls on strings, and we hit those.
That was a lot more fun.
Yeah, that was really fun. So I got to shoot that as well, so, and show that I could actually shoot it. And that, I really want one of them, but I don't know if I'll be able to afford one anytime soon. So it was really cool.
Now, for your safety course, is it as mm-hmm. many rounds as you can shoot at the target until you finally get 10 holes in the paper?
So they said, yeah, basically...
That's what my safety course was. Keep shooting at the target until you have 10 holes.
They said, okay. But no, they said, load 5. I'm looking at them. Do you want me to load 5? We'll load 6, because we had this big discussion before we came out. And they're going, load whatever you want. And he said, well, if you... It was kind of cute, because they're a little bit older men, right? And they're saying, well, it might be tough for you to load, after 5.
You probably felt like slapping them, right?
And I'm going, can I have my speed loader? And they're looking at me. Anyways.
What she's doing.
So I was loading, and I did load 5 at a time, just because of the fact they wanted us to use both the Beretta and the 357 Magnum. So I loaded 5 in each of them, and then it went back to the Beretta. It was fine. It was fine. It was good. They were not up on things that were happening. They were not up on the C-42. It actually passing. So I cleared that up for them and told them what happened. There was the guys that were there. They wanted some feedback on things. One of the guys was thinking about a 1911. I told him no.
And you're off Thomas's Christmas list.
And then I talked about New Shooter Canada to some of the guys as well. I said, if you want to, hey,
did they
listen.
Ask you what this new thing called internet was?
No, they were wondering what a podcast was. Anyways.
It's true. Like I tried to describe, I wore Brian's Canadian service condition to the range one time, and a couple of the older guys goes, what's that? I said, well, it's a podcast. Oh, that's a beast I've never heard of. I'll have to have a listen. So they never, a lot of people don't know what they are.
Yeah. So there was one younger kid there, and his dad said, I'll get him to figure it out for me and make me. But he wanted to talk to me too, because his wife was getting into shooting, and he wanted to know about everything. So it was kind of cool.
I'm surprised they started you on the center fires right away.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I'm going, really? And there was the one guy, he says, okay, make a recommendation to me. And so they're recommending to him, well, you should get a 22 and learn it, work on your accuracy, get used to it. So they bring him out to the firing line. Here's a Beretta 40 cal. There you go.
I don't know if those are two guns I would. Were they shooting 357 rounds or 38 specials?
They were shooting 357 Magnum rounds.
Oh,
and
man.
It was like, boom! It was like Dirty Harry. It was a nice stainless as well, right? So it was beautiful.
They're peppy. Yeah, those are two peppy, high-powered guns to put in newbies. I don't really agree with that. I let them. Go and practice with the 22 for a little bit, get proficient before you put something like that in their hands, because you're going to be blowing holes in the ceiling and the walls and everything else with those things.
One guy was doing the shooting at the birds kind of thing, bringing the gun down over his head. So that was fixed. But it was fun. Today we went to the range as well. We went to the gun club. So for Father's Day, Kevin and I went out to Grenville, and it was so hot and humid. It was unbelievable. Like, it was like soup. You were swimming in it.
My range was pretty hot, too.
Yeah, it was just hot and sticky and everything. But we were the only ones there, so it was awesome. We shot pistol. I shot the M&P 22, so I got used to that again. And the Glock 17, I'm loving the Glock. Kevin's not so much. He doesn't really like it that much, but I think he, once he did some tuning to it, he'll like it. I shot my Beretta PX4 as well. I didn't actually spend a lot of time doing that, but I wanted to do a little bit more for next weekend. And I also found, I was telling you, I found my ammo for Appleseed. Or not Appleseed, Mapleseed.
I see you did it too.
Yeah, I know. So I sighted in my rifle. It's the first time I've actually shot rifle in a couple of weeks now. So I tried the Agula High Velocity, and it was, it was amazing. Just in the same hole, one after another. I did actually have to adjust the sight, and I just had to adjust for windage, but everything was, the groupings were just amazing, just super amazing. And then we'd only bought 250 rounds, so I have to go back and see if they have some still, because I think that's going to be the stuff I want to use. It was just amazing. Like, oh. I also tried, I went back to CCI, the mini mags, and just to try that a bit, and the difference between that. CCI is pretty good too, but you can tell the difference between the two different types of ammo. Kevin threw it in on his rifle too, and he was really impressed with it too. So I think that's going to be, if we can get it, well, if you can get it, buy it.
I was just shooting the standard velocity, and it impressed the hell out of me.
What's the price on that?
I'm thinking hers was more.
$690, I think, was what. $690
for 50.
I think mine was.
Yep.
Yeah. But they were charging $5 a box for Wildcats.
Yeah.
So I think I got the standard stuff. I didn't get the high velocity, and I think it was $650 a box. I think it was a little bit more for the high velocity.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go back and grab some of the high velocity, see how it works in my gun too then, Kelly.
I knew I was going to be using it on the rifle, so I figured high velocity. But yeah, I'm going to go back tomorrow and see what they have at Canadian Tire and see if we can get some more. Because it's really amazing.
Cool.
That's it. What about you, George?
This is what I did.
You broke your gun?
No, I did not break my gun. That sound is the slide not broken. I got my ISSC M22.
Excellent.
I was halfway to work, and my phone dinged, and then, of course, I pulled over in legal fashion to check my phone, because I wouldn't do that while driving, because that's illegal. And Wanda's next to me rolling her eyes. Anyways, it was an email from the RCMP Friday morning. Transfer was complete. As soon as I pulled into the parking lot, I was all over Messenger to John, although I'm assuming he probably got the same email saying it was complete. And I'm like, okay, I'm coming over tomorrow. I need to pick up my gun. Thank you. So he's like, well, I'm busy during the day, so you can come pick it up at 9 in the morning or after 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, well, that's easy. I'm getting up at 6 and driving to Toronto. So I emailed him back, and he's like, well, maybe 9:30. And I'm like, okay, I'm getting up at 6:30 and driving to Toronto. So I was very happy, and I picked it up, and I'm like, I'm going straight to the range. So Wanda ended up coming with me. So he went actually to Globals first to get some stuff, then to the range, and George should have checked the range calendar, because he would have found out the pistol range was booked for the entire day. So I am at the range, fully ammoed, brand new gun, and I can't shoot it. This was yesterday.
So what did you do?
I cried. I curled up in the fetal position and cried.
You feel your pain.
So anyway, I went home, and then I'd already planned to go to the range today for Father's Day, so went, picked up my girls, we went to church, and then went to the range, and I busted out my brand new half Glock, half 1911 ISSC. I'm holding it in my hand, I'm stroking it, I'm loving it.
You made a video with it.
I
You did.
Actually, I made it's funny, when I go, when I do range days, I usually take tons of pictures. I did like all videos this time. So I'm gonna do a little mini review on this pistol. I know nothing about semi-auto pistols, so I can't really give it much a point of reference. But I love the thing.
What kind of groupings were you getting?
I'm not sure. They were kind of all over the place. Because
usual George shotgun
target. Well, it's hard to blame it on the pistol when it's probably the person behind the trigger. No, the groupings were pretty good. It was shooting left, and I wasn't really sure. It's got an adjustable rear sight, and wasn't really sure what I was doing, and so the groupings were good, they just weren't quite where I wanted them to be. So, again, I'm going to say it's the guy behind the trigger, not the pistol.
Why don't you try some of the grill ammunition?
Well, what I did was, I bought a whole bunch, because before the transfer went through, I had gone online to read up on these, and they're well-liked, they're good guns, but they're fussy with ammo. And I've been told, well, all 22 semi-pistols are fussy on ammo. I'm like, well, I don't know. So I bought a bunch of different high-velocity. John had given me some hyper-velocity, and I had...
Did you shoot it?
I shot everything. I had, and I did videos of everything. I started with Federal Target ammo for high velocity, specifically for semi-autos, and it just puked all over the place. Didn't work worth crap. Then I tried American Eagle. It was kind of hemming and humming. The Remington Yellow Jacket, the hyper-velocity stuff, ran great. And CCI AR Tactical. Have you ever heard of that before?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
I've never heard of it either until my club had it.
Is it high velocity?
Yeah, it's high velocity.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
200 rounds, not one failure. All the other stuff, yeah. I was getting failure to extract, failure to feed, a couple stovepipes, just basically any malfunction that is ammo-related, I was getting.
You have.
With all the other stuff. That CCI AR Tactical, it comes in 100-round strips. I went through two of those.
Stuff.
It was a pack of 300. I went through two strips without a malfunction. So, hold on, I got a cough. Excuse me.
Oh. So,
I think I muted that, didn't I? Okay.
Yeah, you did.
So, like I said, I don't know much about pistols. One thing I did have a problem, and this it slowly developed throughout the day, and then it got like to the point where it was really bad at the end of the day, is when I push down on the slide release, it's not releasing the slide. Now, if I manipulate it with my hand, it will slide back in the battery. It was so bad, I had to like hit the magazine for it to slide back into... Is it battery? Is that the right term? Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
At one point you asked for a hammer, I believe.
No, that's when I was going to punch out these pins, and then I thought, maybe I better not, because I don't know what's going to happen if I punch out those pins. So I thought, yeah, maybe not. So I put a little bit of oil on it, and I've taken the slide off, and it looks a little gritty where the slide release is. But if I manually do it with my hand, it's fine. So it's just getting caught somewhere on something, and I'm sure it's...
Just a note to listeners, before you start knocking pins out, read your owner's manual first, since George should read his manual.
I didn't knock any pins out.
I know, but you're going to knock them out. You said the manual didn't have enough detailed information.
No, it didn't say anything about these two pins. There's like a pin here and a pin here, because, you know, you guys can see what I'm pointing at.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think if I punch this pin out, then this piece will come out, and then I'll have access to that piece. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. And then I thought, maybe not.
Yeah, then you're going to the gunsmith and say, can you put this back together for me, please?
So, it is... I made the comment that it's like half Glock, half 1911. It is very Glock-looking, extremely Glock-looking. But it's a hammer-fired, has a decocker. It's got like a Glock style trigger, and it's single action, so you have to cock the hammer or rack the slide, either or.
Is the backstrap adjustable? Like, do you have different sizes for the backstrap?
No, it's just the handguard or the hand, the pistol grips, all one solid piece. There's no way, no way to put change out stuff, but it fits in my hand great. I love the feel of it. I love this gun. Have I mentioned how much I love this gun?
You're not going to do revolvers anymore. You're going to go to semi-auto, aren't you?
He really wants a 19.
You know what? My daughter, because of I've done like videos of all this. I'm going to try my hand at video editing, and I'll post it up on YouTube and then link it back.
And did your daughter shoot?
Yes, but because we started with the crappiest ammo and then worked our way to the better ammo, she was getting so many failures that she just kind of went, yeah, I don't like that gun. And I was like, well, you know, I kind of expected it, knowing, because I was getting into this knowing that it was fussy on ammo. So I kind of started with, like, federal, like, the federal stuff's not bad, but if you're feeding it into, I wouldn't feed that into a gun that was fussy, although I did, but I wasn't surprised by the failures. So yeah, I don't know what else to say about it, because I've never really done a gun review. Other than, you know, the 45 minutes of pre-show, my co-host had to listen to me playing with my new gun.
Oh!
I got so sick of it, I went downstairs and I grabbed my two, I got my grandpa and my 22 just to compete with the noise he was making.
So, yeah. So, I got my ISSC M22. I did a little reveal video on Saturday because couldn't shoot the thing, so I figured I might as well fondle it for an hour. So that's what I did.
So all in all, you're happy with the gun?
Yes.
That's all that counts.
The slide lock issue, it's I don't know. It's not enough to discourage me from the gun. I think it's just a matter of it. The other thing is I've also fired probably at least, well, I fired 200 rounds of the CCI through it, and then 50 rounds of the Remington, 50 rounds of the American Eagle, and then, I don't know, a bunch of the Federal. So I've got already over 300 rounds through this pistol. So, and I put a little oil along where the base of the slide goes back and forth on the frame. And so I'm wondering if maybe I should, instead of doing it on both sides, I should have only done it on the one side, because I think some grit might have gotten in to where...
Well, there should be two rails, so both rails should be clean and re-lubed.
Yeah, and see, it looks like it's starting to get gritty.
I usually just take a Q-tip and some cleaner, and I'll clean out the guides and the rails, and then I'll re-lube it with a good coating of oil.
And see, and I think that's what is causing, might be causing the problem with the slide release, not releasing the slide. I don't know, because my experience...
Why don't you look up online and see if it's an issue?
Well, that's the other thing. That's the other thing I'll do.
I'm looking right now. It seems to be some... Either the release is not releasing, or it's not actually opening.
Oh, so it's a known issue?
At the end.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yep, so...
Does it mention
fix?
A fix for it?
No, there's a lot of stuff in the blogs and boards about it. So there's a YouTube video as well. So maybe we'll look at that later.
I'm assuming it's a fixed barrel, right? The barrel doesn't rotate on.
No, it's fixed.
On a pin? It's fixed. Okay.
Now that you've mentioned that, I have a question, because, again, this is my first time ever owning this style of pistol. There's, like, I'm looking at it right now, and I've got the barrel, and then there's about, not quite an, maybe an inch, that's, like, a different color, and it's got a wrench, and you can, like, screw it and unscrew it? Yeah, at the end of the barrel.
Okay, so it's probably a bushing
wrench.
Yeah,
I got that. So... Because that was actually coming loose, so I retightened it. So, but what is that piece?
I can't see how it probably just holds the slide and the bushing, so when the gun fires, it goes along the barrel, then in the battery, and then, or out, and then back in.
So it doesn't.
Like a 1911 so it doesn't really have any has
it sticks.
It holds the barrel in place, or holds a slide on the barrel.
Okay, that's it.
Because a 1911, for example, will have the barrel is actually fitted to the bushing itself, and the bushing is inserted in the slide. Where for the Grand Power, for example, has a bull barrel, so there is no bushing.
Oh, because it sticks at the end of the slide.
You probably have to loosen that off to take the gun apart.
Nope, then. Slide comes right off.
I'm online and I'm looking at their page, and they're suggesting frog lube. Just use some.
I got lots of frog lube for you. I got 16 ounces of frog lube.
But I've heard frog lube isn't good.
And if it doesn't work, you can. Well, it's good on toast.
It's good on toast. It's good on toast.
Okay. Actually, frog lube works well, but it deteriorates rather quickly once you subject it to heat and the grit from firing it. Like, it's a great lube, but when you're done, clean it off and redo it. And it deteriorates. So if you're going to clean your gun, put it in the safe for 6 months, forget it. If you're shooting every week and you're cleaning it every week, that's fine. But if you let it put in a lot of rounds through it and it gets exposed to a lot of heat, it bakes, basically. It catches fire. It rots. It's a vegetable product.
Gotcha. So,
but it smells minty fresh, and it's good on toast.
It smells minty fresh. Mm. So yeah, so it's and the deal that I got on this from John,
complain.
Like, not even close.
Did you bling it up yet? Put some stickers
no,
on it?
No, but because
you know, Cerakote it.
Nope,
pink?
It's gonna stay black, all black. Because Jessica didn't like it, but she loves Grandpa's gun. And the original pink gun I was going to get was going to be the Buckmark pink version of my dad's. Because my dad's got a Buckmark 2, I think it is, or something. Buckmark something, anyways.
That would be a much better gun for her to shoot, because it's going to be very accurate and easy
and
for her to
handle. And she loves my dad's. Like, she just went and spent the rest of the day shooting my dad's. So I said to her, well, because Daddy got such a wicked deal. Have I mentioned that yet? Thank you, John. You are the man.
Well, the nice thing about the Browning, you put a couple of boxers through them, and the trigger just smooths right out. Like, from the factory, the Browning has a much nicer trigger than any of the Rugers, and it's easier to shoot more accurately if you're not reefing on that trigger. So I think that'd be perfect for her.
Yeah, one thing, actually, that I did notice about this, and in one of my videos, I'm shooting it, and then I thought it had a misfire, so I brought it back down, and then I kind of looked at it. I'm like, no, hammer's still cocked, everything's right. So I shot it again. It's the trigger reset. It's got an incredibly long trigger reset. So it's a 22, so you're not going to be doing any action shooting with this thing anyways, but it does have a very long reset. But again, it's, you know what, I love this gun.
I noticed the same thing today. I tried doing it with the 597, because I don't shoot it very often because I was having a lot of problems with it. But there is no reset on that. It resets the full distance, and you know, you get that little click where you hit the reset. There's nothing. Yeah. There's absolutely nothing. It's dead. So I fire it, and I let it go forward, and thinking, oh, shoot, maybe I had a dud. And I check it, and it's cocked, and it's in the battery, and you don't feel any reset on the trigger of that 597.
This one's almost, I don't think it's a full reset. I think it does reset before the trigger's all the way out. But it's close. Like, I was trying to concentrate on the reset and the front sight while I was shooting it the whole time. And my mind wandered, and then I went to pull it again, and nothing happened. And I was like, oh, don't tell. That may be like stovepiped or something, right? Because I didn't even get a click or nothing. And so I paused, and in the video you can see where I kind of brought the gun down. I saw that was still, the hammer was still cocked, so I pulled the trigger, and I was like, oh. And then I kind of paid attention to the reset again. I went, oh, it is a long reset. So, but again, for my needs and for my first polymer gun, I love it. It's...
Now you got to find a holster.
Exactly, because this is actually the gun that I want to use for the Valkyrie defense course in September. So, I am psyched.
Okay.
You're going to shoot the Bell Creek Defense Course with the 22?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
Better find a holster for it.
Well, Red's got a loaner for me, so worse. Because originally that was my plan, was I was going to borrow one off of Red. And it was a 22. Right. He was going to, he had a 9, and, well, actually, I know all the guns he has now, because I shot them all last weekend. so he has a 9, a 40, and he was listing them in 22, and I'm like, oh, 22. Cheap ammo, and I can actually bring my own from home. So I was like, I'll use the 22, thank you. So.
Perfect.
Yeah, as long as the instructor said it's okay with the 22, yeah. Why not?
So.
And Brian would let him.
Yep.
We got that bromance going on. All right.
I wonder if they have pink holsters for that.
For my ISSC? Yeah. Don't know. Don't know, and I'm not getting one.
Okay, so I guess we should segue again in the news, since we're overdosing on George's goodness for 22s.
We're almost at 45 minutes.
Guns in the news. Well, I guess everybody knows that C-42 had royal assent, and the RCMP rushed out a bulletin before it was even approved by the governor. So they end up having an update on it. And Slamfire covered it fully, so we're not really going to go into it. I think everybody's aware of what happened in the update. But I'm just going to go through the main bulletin. But I'm just going to go through the update, and we can discuss afterwards what actually happened with it. So, a special bulletin 91 update on June 18th. The Public Safety Minister, Emerging Preparedness, the Honorable Stephen Blaney, blah, 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 blah. Effective immediately, these changes come into the Firearm Act and the Criminal Code do the following. Make classroom participation mandatory. Provide for the discretionary authority of the CFO to be subject to regulations. So, no more screws from the CFO.
Now, would that be the clause that covers these stupid invitation letters?
Yes.
So, because...
Yeah. And the safety courses.
Yeah.
And the shrouding. That's all discretionary by the CFO. That's why every province is different.
Right. So now they're subject to the regulations. So if it's not in the Firearms Act, they can't add to it.
And he has to report. Like, he can't do it all by himself. He has to follow the regulations. He can't make them up on his own. And there's no regulations on shrouding or the invitations or the club level safety course and stuff like that. That's all the CFO Ontario. And the same with the Quebec. They have horror stories they have to go through.
Right.
So it's going to strengthen the criminal code provision, retaining to orders prohibiting the possession of a firearm where a person is convicted of an offense involving domestic violence. So if you're involved in any domestic violence, you will never get a firearms license ever. And provide the governor and council with the authority to prescribe firearms to be non-restricted or restricted. Such prescribing would be formed by independent experts. So you couldn't have the Swiss Arm incident. Right now, they could make stuff restricted and prohibited, but they can't make stuff that's restricted and non-restricted. Now they can. So even without the petitions, if the safety minister wanted to make the AR, God bless his soul if he did, non-restricted, it could happen.
Right. So within the next several months, so this is where the update has made some changes. So within the next several months, upon a date fixed by the ordering council, the following changes will come into effect. Creation of a 6-month grace period at the end of the 5-year license period to stop people from immediately becoming criminalized for paperwork delays around license renewals. Now, we talked about this yesterday at the ATT course. They weren't aware that this was happening. And so I just let them know it is. Elimination of the possession-only license, or the POL, and conversion of all existing POLs to possession and acquisition license. So they're going to convert them over to the to PALs. Authorization to transport become a condition of the license for a certain routine and actful activities such as target shooting, taking a firearm home after a transfer, going to a gun show or gunsmith, Canadian port of exit, or a peace officer or a chief firearms officer, CFO, for verification, registration, or disposal of, and sharing of firearms import information when restricted and prohibited firearms are imported into Canada by businesses. So the biggest change to this was, we had said Slamfire had reported this. The RCMP put something out, and it said that there was going to be a nine month wait for any of the ATTs to convert over. And they quickly actually retracted that, and then they put out this new or updated information because of the fact that they jumped too quickly. And reported that it was going to be a 9 month wait.
And they also they changed the wording here too, right? They added upon date fixed by an order in council. Because the way I understood it was, the RCMP were saying we don't care what anybody says, you're waiting 9 months. Now they're saying, wow, upon the date fixed by the order in council. So they're no longer making the decision. It's whenever the order in council says effective this date. So
right. Now they did say that they would need some time to convert it over, but
there are grace period that are to be determined by the council general, they call them. Mm-hmm. Some things they can do instantly, but the act itself does allow grace periods for its introduction. But the RCMP automatically made their own grace periods up. Without
and they're not, and they're not allowed to do that.
Well, no, but, because it's parliamentary. It's said right in there that it has to be done by parliament. They can't do it.
Right, but that's good. So.
And so yeah, so that's all we got for news this week.
Well, there's a couple other things in the authorization of transport were trying to take me off because they won't allow transport for education.
Okay, so apparently, we're not moving yet.
Because it kind of takes me off because they should have included for education. Because I used to have an education ATT. So if I wanted to go to somebody's house and teach the club level safety course, which I've had, you can't do that now. That's not included.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not in there. And I don't see...
So, like when Terry got her club level safety course or she did her PAL, that they came to the house and did that.
No, she actually had to go to the range.
Oh, okay.
But the way it is, your ATT is good from here to the range for target shooting and back again.
Yeah.
If you're going from here to the club to teach and not shooting, that doesn't technically qualify on your ATT. Mm-hmm. You're not shooting. You're inside the classroom and you're instructing with the firearm. Sometimes classes are held at a different location, so you need an education TT. We did have the guy that taught her she challenged the restricted test, and he did come here.
Right.
So he had a teaching. He used my guns. He said, but he said, I have an ATT, but it's if you've got guns there that you want to use. And she challenged the test at home. But that's not included.
That's one of the things that was brought up yesterday as well at the ATT course that I was on. The guys were all asking if they could still challenge, and the instructors looked at me and I went, no.
Not as of Thursday.
No. They had no idea that it had received royal assent and that it passed. I'm going, oh yeah.
And the other thing is, technically, if you have a gun delivered to a post office, not to your home, you need an ATT to go pick that up.
And I said that once, and somebody challenged me on that, and I was like, I'm not fighting it.
You do.
Technically, you do.
You do.
So you're not home when they deliver the gun, and you get that little stupid thing stuck on your door saying that you'll be ready to be picked up at the post office after 1 o'clock tomorrow. Legally, you need an ATT to take that thing home from the post office.
Yeah, you need to call the CFO, and you need to arrange for an ATT to have it delivered across the street to you.
Wow, you're going to pick up a box wrapped in brown paper. Who knows what's in it? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, the other thing is that nobody in the post office has a firearms license to handle it. So that's why you don't put anything on the packages. Just put machine parts or whatever. But that's one thing that should have been included. Tony Bernardo brought that up, and I agree with him. That should have been included in the ATTs.
Yeah. Well, and now it is, right? Where does it say it? taking a fire home after a transfer, right? So I would assume that going to the post office mm-hmm. to pick up your... That's transferring at home, right? So...
Yeah.
It's, yeah. You know, there's lots of good, there's a bit of bad, and at the end of the day, it's not perfect, but we're still better off C-42. We're better off with 42 than without it. So.
Well, I'm happy. I'm happy that it's there, because it takes a lot of pressure mm-hmm. off us as restricted firearms
owners. Well, somebody posted up on Facebook, you know, oh, you know, nobody's going to vote for the Conservatives. They voted for the Conservatives because they're going to repeal 68, and I'm like, no, gunnies are voting Conservative because that's the only party not threatening to take their guns away. It had nothing to do with C-48 or 68.
No. It's just the threats, because both the NDP and the liberals, crazy Liberal Center that's introducing the bill, that's their mandate. They want to disarm yeah. Canadians because
they're
scared.
That will never get through.
No.
That bill will never get through.
But that's why, but that was kind of my point to this guy was, because he was pissed off because of 42 was going through, and the Conservatives promised to repeal 68, and they didn't. And they've fallen back on their promises, and nobody's going to vote Conservative. And I'm like,
what? Yeah. They fall back on their promises.
I know.
Politician. They never
right?
do politician. That.
Vote Seriously? Me in, and I'm going to do this, remember this, and this.
Remember the GST? Okay.
Oh, correction. Yeah. Well.
And it was the Conservatives that
oh no, we can't
brought
take back
it brought
the
it down right. But the red book.
Anyways, I'm not going to... we're not going there.
So,
I'm old enough when I remember Pierre Elliott Trudeau saying he was going to make marijuana legal when I was 18, and that never happened. Now his son's trying the same thing as an election platform. So,
anyways, so...
Okay. Second main topic today.
No, this is the first main...
No,
that was news.
Now
we're getting
news.
Into main topics. Have you lost track, Thomas?
It's 10:01. Okay. I haven't had any coffee this afternoon.
I can tell by how slow you're talking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're doing the main topics and the survey in the same thing. Okay. We're missing story three this week, so everything got sort of screwed around. It's been a busy week for everybody, so a third story didn't make it in there.
Neither did a second story. Welcome to the show. And I'm not going to edit any of that out either. So,
quick topics.
Oh, gosh.
Anyways. Friend of mine had a hang fire at the range, and there was an injury.
Yeah.
They'd had a Savage 99 with a bunch of very, very old ammunition, and everybody took turns shooting the rifle. It was a really accurate shooter. Every one of his friends fired it. They loved it. The owner went back to it, and he was firing it. And he had a dud. So he still had the muzzle facing downrange, but he, you know, turned sideways to talk to people, keeping a safe muzzle direction. And I guess he didn't have a firm grip on it, and he had it maybe canted a little bit sideways. Well, it discharged. And it recoiled out of his hand, and it sliced his forearm wide open, and he had to go to the hospital and have some stitches made because the front sight was razor sharp on his Savage 99. So...
Ouch.
Sometimes if you have a hang fire, just hang a proper grip on the gun, because if it's going to go off, you're still going to have the full recoil.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? We were kind of talking about this in the pre-show, and a bad, bad, bad habit I've gotten into, and I should break it, especially after hearing this, I got to stop doing it, is my first instinct when I hear the click, cycle the action, knock the round out, and then continue on, right? And, you know, I know better. I can't say that I didn't, but it just, it's one of those bad habits you get into, right? And then you hear a story like this and go, uh-oh.
Well, the problem is when we're doing, especially for Appleseed, you're in a timed event. And if you have a problem, you have to clear that problem and get back into the match. So just, even with action pistol, you're still doing the same thing. If you pop it up fast enough and it lands on the ground and it does go off, it's just going to separate from the case. You're not going to have any velocity or pressure built up in the gun. But what I would suggest, like something like this, it happens. It wouldn't have been injured if the arm was maybe not in front of the front sight. You should just stay... Do your proper count, keep it properly shouldered, especially if it's a high-powered weapon, you want to take control of it. And if you do get injured by cutting yourself, I would strongly suggest, if you go to the emergency room, tell them,
Just kidding.
Lie.
Don't lie.
Do not. No. Lie. Don't. It didn't happen at the range.
I was joking. George was joking.
I was not
George
joking.
George was joking. Do not lie to medical professionals.
If you get injured and it's not serious at the range, try to omit how you got there. They're going to ask you. And if you tell them it was at the gun club and you were shooting, it's going to be a gun shooting. They're going to consider it a shooting, and they will contact the police. You tell your doctor you got injured while shooting a gun, he is obligated to report that to the police. So if you get injured, you slipped and fell, you had your gardening shears. Now, if there's a bullet in you, different story, right?
Now, this is all simply opinion, and we do not endorse lying to any officials of any kind.
Well, I'm not saying lie, just omit certain incidences. Like, anything that happens at a range, they will use it against that range to shut it down. They really will. You got to really be careful. Like, you know, if it's a shooting, you can, of course, you have to call the police. You have to report it. Emergency personnel are going to come. They're going to see it's at the gun club.
Officer, I wasn't shot. I tripped and fell, and the bullet entered my body.
You'd still be charged. Somebody's going to get charged, or the range is going to get shut down. Like, they investigate stuff like that. It's serious. You get injured on the range, and as long as it's not a direct result of somebody aiming a firearm at you, don't report where it would happen.
I know, but I don't think it's wise openly endorsing people to lie about stuff and not reporting them. There might be, I suspect there might be some liability issues there.
Okay, don't lie, but be careful. Select what information you tell the medical professionals. Still lie. Don't tell them what happened. I don't care. This is just my opinion. It's entertainment purposes only, but you're going to be in a you could have a boatload of hurt if you tell them what really happened. So if it's something minor, you tripped over the dog. You landed on the fork where you're barbecuing.
Tripped over the dog and landed on the garden chairs in the library.
A friend of mine had a candlestick. Come back at him.
As Colonel Mustard looked on.
The round hit him in the chest, left a perfect round circle, and he's going for his physical. And the doctor said, how'd that happen? Goes, I tripped downstairs and I hit the top of the banister, that little round thing. But because they would report it. So be careful what information you share. Just saying.
Okay. Well, hopefully we don't ever get sued over that segment. So, hangfires.
That's just my opinion.
We have the disclaimer at front.
And the back.
And about four or five times during.
Yeah.
But tell me, though, George, if you got injured at the range, would you tell the truth if it was going to affect you having a criminal record and the range shut down?
I plead the fifth. I'm recording from the United States of America, so I get to plead the fifth.
Plus, you can get away with it and go to confession before you go to church, and you're fine.
Yeah.
I lied. I'm sorry, but, you know.
It's not quite that simple, but anyways.
It was a hang fire. It's not like you were taking somebody out.
Yeah, it was it was just a fluke.
The moral of the story is if you have a hang fire, still maintain full control of your firearm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, what...
And do the count.
Yes.
Have you ever had a
hang fire? No, I haven't. What is a Savage 99? What caliber is that?
It's a lever action. I believe it was a 308. I'm not 100%.
Ooh, so that's
the same one.
Trevor
just bought one. I had a hang fire once with a 22. And I bet you it went off after about 45 seconds. Scared the bejesus out of me.
I've never had the only center fire I own are my 45 Colt. And I've never had a misfire of any kind with those. Every time the hammer goes forward, it goes bang. 22s, because misfires are so common, you know, when I first got my 22, I would sit there and count to 60 and nothing would happen. And, you know, then I'd count to 30 and then 20 and then 10 and then cycle, bang, 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 cycle, bang. You know, and it's just a very bad habit I've got.
My club actually dropped it down from 60 to 30. Come on, buddy, what's
Did
the matter?
They?
Yeah, they dropped it down.
So it's for rimfire, we're used to, you know, them not going bang.
That's a problem, right?
But center fire, come on, right?
Yeah, if I shoot my 45 and it went click, I would take notice of that.
Yeah.
I've even when I've shot it and it's not sounded quite right at like a cowboy shoot, I like stop and look around and like, did anyone see that hit the berm? Because if it doesn't ping off the steel, right? So, and then you know somebody will say, yeah, no, you're clear, right? And then continue shooting. And then if everyone's standing there going, I don't know, then it's like, that round's over because you got to check for a squib, but
which is a little bit harder to do in a single action revolver.
Oh no, it's easy. You just keep cycling and pulling the trigger until the gun blows up. If it doesn't blow up, you're good.
Yep.
Kidding.
I had a friend put 5 or 6 squibs in the barrel before he realized he had squibs.
Yeah, right.
Really like target loads. Filled
I'm calling shenanigans on that one. How is that even possible?
Well, I won't say. Brand new Smith & Wesson Performance Center 357. He had another club member make him reloads, light target loads, and he was spotting for him at the same time. And he fired, and the guy said, no, you're too low, and he kept telling him to shoot. And this is an experienced club member. And he filled up the barrel with squibs. Luckily, they were light target loads. Because all he did, but he destroyed the gun. They can't get all the squibs out. It's just lead's welded into the barrel.
Interesting.
Reload.
I'm still calling.
No, who's doing
I'm still
the reloads?
Calling shenanigans on that one.
I said, how many squibs did you put down the barrel? And he said 5 or 6. No, it's true.
Really?
He went out and bought another gun because they deemed the gun unrepairable.
Can't you just switch out the barrel?
Oh, he could. He didn't want to pay the money.
I'm calling shenanigans on that one.
Well, Smith & Wesson's not going to warranty something like that.
No, but you just buy a new barrel, right? Can't you?
Yeah, you can just have a new barrel. But he spent like $1,600 on the gun.
How much is a barrel?
I looked at getting my 29 rebarreled about 15 years ago for a shorter barrel, because I had a big 8-inch barrel. And they wanted $400 for the barrel.
So you're telling me you're not going to spend $400 to rebarrel a $1,600 gun? You're just going to throw it away?
Actually, I tried to buy it off him. I said, well, just give me the gun. I said, I'll get it rebarreled. Nope, he wanted to buy another gun. He just wanted to keep the gun as a reminder of his own stupidity.
Shenanigans.
Well, people at my club will tell you, but I'm not saying who, when, or where. I'll tell you after.
Okay.
No, it's true.
Alright.
Empire's BS.
Okay, so moving on.
Yep.
From that disastrous micro topic. Okay, well, if we have any listeners left, we did a survey, and being Father's Day, I thought, well.
Happy Father's Day. George?
Oh, thank you.
Happy Father's Day.
I thought, well, won't we talk about the survey results? Because. It was more, instead of choosing, you actually got to write in what you wanted, so I thought it'd be kind of neat to share what some of our listeners did for Father's Day. So the first question that we asked was, what are you planning on doing for Father's Day this Sunday? Are you spending it at home or at the range with family or not? So the first response was, well, I will be thinking about all the fathers that have valid ATTs and are at the range. Thomas, was that one you? No?
No, I'm not a father.
Well, this person just said they'll be thinking about all the fathers with valid ATTs. So it sounds like it's coming from somebody that doesn't have a ATT.
Honest to God, I didn't write it. I'm not a father.
And next one. Do you want to take next one? Either one of you.
The next one says, I have no idea what they're... So I'm assuming it's someone who said they...
Well, this must be you, George. Starting with church at 11 a.m., then heading to the range from church and meeting up with my dad. Going to send a lot of lead downrange. We will have three generations of hatches representing us, followed by a barbecue, probably a couple cold ones, and just spending time chatting in the backyard.
Okay, well, if the church thing didn't give me away, I'm guessing the hatch, three generation of hatches, that might have been a good giveaway.
Well, some poor other guy was saying he's going to the range alone. Maybe that's a good thing if he wants to get away from his wife and kids.
Maybe.
That's my father's take, get away from the family. I've had evenings with my 16-year-old where that would have been my Father's Day request. But yeah. Instead, I fought with her to come to Father's Day barbecue. Oh, I don't want to go shooting. Oh, I don't want to do that. But kudos to her. She did show up for the barbecue and spent some time with the family. So I was impressed.
Oh, she did.
Which is a lot better than I was at that age. So, and then the last one. Oh, okay. My dog's messing with my mouth.
The last one was rebuild an engine or on a dirt bike for a friend of mine. That's cool. That's nice. Yeah, that's cool. Really cool.
So number two, or the second question we asked, what would be the ultimate Father's Day present for you to go in your range bag, gun cabinet, or on your guns? Excuse me. And the first answer was more ammo. I agree. More ammo.
Agulia.
High speed Agulia.
Yeah.
And all the parts and tools necessary to build my M1 Grand in 308.
Nice.
What if that's Kevin?
Well, I think that that's a good ultimate gift. Put that on the shopping list for Christmas.
And somebody else said, I've been so focused on getting a pink gun for my daughter that my AR build has been on hold. So since I don't get to be a bit selfish here, I would say some AR parts to add to my build. I wonder who that is.
I don't know.
Did you get any?
AR parts?
Yeah.
No. I was busy buying all my other guns. Oh, I took. Oh, the other thing I did in guns is I shot the Marlin today. Mm-hmm.
Oh, did you? How'd
awesome.
That go?
Put the scope on it?
No, but I'd take that rail off so I could use the iron sights. But, yeah, okay. Accurate. It's, like, ridiculously accurate. Yeah.
Nice gun.
It's good.
Can I shoot it at Maple Seed? Okay.
It's like a horrible Maple Seed gun. It's probably going to be, like, the worst gun you could take to Maple Seed because the mags don't drop. And it's a little cumbersome trying to get the mags out.
Oh. And it's funny, the Maple Seed rifle is the Marlin 795.
Is it really?
Or the Apple Seed rifle, yeah. They've got an Apple Seed version.
Yeah, the magazine Marlin. Doesn't drop free, and the magazine release is behind it, and it's just... Now, mind you, I'm shooting left with a right-handed gun, so that might be a large part of the manual arms is all backwards to me, right?
Right.
But I just found it very awkward. Again, very first time I ever shot it, so that could be part of it, too. So, but I love it.
I'd like to try it.
It's a nice gun. That's going to be my backup.
And you had not one failure either, did you?
Actually, I was so obsessed with the pistol that Wanda goes, didn't you bring a rifle? I'm like, oh yeah, I better fire off some rounds with the rifle. So,
did your daughter shoot the Marlin?
No, she's totally off of rifles. Wants nothing to do with them. She just wants Grandpa's pistol.
Because that would be such a perfect gun for it. It's nice and light. It's got a short length of pull.
It's very Savage-esque. Reminds me a lot of myself.
Yeah. Give her time. Savage. Give her time.
So, anyways.
So we get back to the survey, guys. Okay. So the next answer was three EOTEX.
Now, what's EOTEX? I've heard that before. That I'm assuming that's a scope, right? Or some sort of magnified sights?
Yes.
I've heard EOTEX.
Very expensive. Very, very expensive cool. sights. They're holographic
now,
sights.
What do you mean holographic?
Well, it doesn't... it's not an LED or a diode. It actually produces a hologram on a screen.
Of your sight picture? Like the...
Yes. You've got the little... It's got basically a little window, and the image itself is a holographic image projected on the screen, so it's very visible.
Okay.
It's kind of like... this Call of Duty.
Well, you use my AR, right, George? Okay, that's a holosight by Bushnell, but it's made by Ecotech. It's very similar.
Oh, okay.
It's like the cheapo Ecotec, but it is made by Ecotec.
Now, that was a red dot you had, right?
No, that was a holographic sight.
I don't remember it then.
The Spark I bought is a red dot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a daylight visible red dot, where the Ecotec and the Holosight is an actual holographic image projected on the screen. But they're not cheap. You're probably with tax, you're looking at $1,000 a piece. So this must be Trevor. He's the only one that has any money to spend on guns these days.
Hey, you know what? I just read ahead to the next one, and I know exactly who was rebuilding an engine on a dirt bike for a friend.
Do you want to read it?
Yeah, the last one is, I'd like my wife to take me shooting. Now, who speaks that way? Then take me out to a steak dinner. Then we can catch some night crawlers with my girls. And we can go fishing, or finish the night catfishing next to a fire on the riverbank. And that sounds Mark. Extremely familiar, and that sounds like Red. And he was, I know the dirt bike he was talking about, because he kept trying to get his girls to ride it, and none of them wanted to, so he was giving it to the neighbor. So that's...
None of them wanted to ride the dirt bike? I'd be all over that.
Oh, yeah, me too.
If I wasn't afraid of popping the tires on it from being a little pork.
Well, how old's his oldest daughter?
I'm not sure. 14? 15?
No. How old's number one?
I'm not sure. She's I think she's in high school. Or starting high school. I'm not sure.
I'm surprised she didn't want to try it.
So... All right, so that's it for the survey. So thank you, everyone, that participated.
Yeah, sound like you guys had some great days planned, and you had some... It'd be interesting to see if everybody was able to get their... what they were planning to do, or what they were hoping to do, if they were actually able to do it. Yeah. So, all right.
I get nothing. I get licked by the dog, that's what it is.
I was going to say, we should have a fur dad's day.
Well, I tried to throw Thomas a bone and say, well, you're the dad of a furry one, and he wouldn't buy it. He wasn't having no part of that.
Well.
I chose not to be a dad, so. My decision.
There you go. Yep. All right, so events. I guess I'll take this since I'm already talking.
Sure.
On June 27th, 2015, this is the same event that we covered last week. June 27th, the Barry Gun Club will hold the second annual shoot for a cure, with proceeds benefiting the Huronia Motorcycle Ride for Dad's Fight Against Prostate Cancer through its Prostate Cancer Fight Foundation. Men and women of all ages with little to no firearms experience will be able to try their hand in skeet, handgun, shotgun, and AR tactical type rifles, all while supervised by knowledgeable instructors in a safe and friendly environment. Participants pay $40, which includes entry and 10 rounds with each firearm, as well as prize draws. Additional rounds are available for a small donation, and a cash barbecue all the tents are all wrong in this article. All rounds were available. Everything's in the past tense.
Never pre-reads anything.
Everything's in the past tense, so I'm trying to, as I'm reading, adjust all the tents.
This must be from last year's, and it's just copy and pasted, was it?
Additional rounds. Maybe. Are available for a small donation, and a cash barbecue will be provided by Sizzlers. And
Sizzlers barbecue.
But if this is last year's ad, may or may not be. The entire proceeds for the day go to support prostate cancer research and awareness right here in Ontario. So that is next weekend. So as Kelly said last week, if you're not going to the charity shoot and you're in Ontario, I would strongly recommend going there. And I know Trevor's not going to want to hear this, but I'm probably most definitely not going to be able to make it out there. So I may actually swing by this and check it out.
You should. I think I got this off Darlene McKenzie's webpage, so she might be going out there too.
Cool.
Oh, really? That's cool. Mm.
And that's...
All right.
Oh, and the charity shoot, if you're just crawling out from underneath the rock, charity shoot in New Brunswick. Check out slamfireradio.com for details.
And there's if you haven't heard it, there's a really good commercial on
their
the
last
episode. Their last episode, yes. And apparently I'm well known about my compensated 22 with red dots, so...
Shout-outs. Sorry, Tom.
Actually, their listener, Mark Price, put that out, which is the same guy that I sold the grip to for the Grand Power, and he will be at the charity shoot, so we're looking forward to meeting Mark out there. Shout-outs. It's funny, Kelly and I were talking about the Aguila ammo. When I went to the Canadian Tire, I'm like, ta-da! I was so happy to see anything but Winchester White Box there. And there was two newbie shooters there, and they were asking me about all types of ammunition. They both just got their pellets. I just bought a Savage Access and 308, and I must have spent 45 minutes talking to the guy about guns and ammunition selection, and I plugged Slamfire Radio, and I plugged New Shooter Canada, but I didn't tell him I had anything to do with the radio show. So a shout-out to the two new shooters, and I did not get their names at Canadian Tire for having such an interest in our sport. And hopefully you'll listen to the show and realize I was the guy you were talking to at the ammo counter at Canadian Tire. But I must have spent... I went all over with the Savage Access and the trigger kit and Matthew's video on doing the Savage, the trigger jobs and everything else. So, what about you, George? Any shout-outs?
Nope.
He's busy typing.
Again? Is he
mute? No. Well, I was on mute until my name was called. Just don't ask me what your shout-out
Kelly.
Was. Okay. You just threw the ball to me and now you're taking it away from me?
Well, he's giving you time to type.
And you can finish typing the show notes.
Well, no, I was just typing the closing comments. Anyways, I've got no shout-outs this week, I don't think.
None?
Well, I've had like a huge love fest on for with John over the deal he gave me, so I think that horse has been shot and made into glue by now. Thanks, John, for the wicked awesome deal. I love the gun. I am so grateful you hate the gun, because I love the gun. Did I mention I love my gun? Okay.
Yes.
Oh, actually, I got one other shout out to my co-host Kelly, that while we were rambling, she went out and found Amazon.ca holsters for my M22.
Yep.
She is so good.
Those are actually probably the easiest for you to get, by the way. So if you're looking for holsters, like I went to SFRC, I also went to Calgary Shooting Club, and all that, nobody had any. Amazon will be the easiest to get your holster from.
Looks that way. And it's looks like they're pretty good deals. $32.
Yeah. They range in price from 18 to 32. You probably don't want the paddle, though, right? Not for what we're going to be doing.
Why? What's a paddle?
It's inside the pant paddle, so you want something that's gonna fix. Yeah.
Oh, belts.
So
there you go.
You're gonna
Cool.
Okay. And then there's brown owls there too, but that will take a while to come from the States. Or
ship
you could always get it shipped to Stacy.
Or just to Red.
Cheaper shipping. Or Red. Cheaper shipping. And you can pick it up there.
Yeah, Red and Stacy are almost the same drive for me.
Yeah.
Did you see the stuff that was in Stacy's garage that people had ordered from Canada and shipped to her house?
You mean Kevin?
Kevin, Brian.
You mean Kevin?
Kevin too?
No. Yes, Kevin ordered quite
Although
a bit.
Although I forgot to talk to Red about using him as a shipping address. So when you listen to this, Ed.
You should have seen it. The garage, a quarter of her garage is sock that was bought from Canadians.
Yeah. She needed an extra room for Kevin's stuff.
Yeah.
Serious. I said, Kevin, you got a problem.
I walked in and go, well, Brian ordered all that? She goes, no, mostly Kevin.
Yeah. But he was very happy and very thankful. So it was good. He was able to get some stuff down there that he couldn't get here. None of it, by the way, was stuff that was illegal that he couldn't import. It was clothes. Most of it. Anyways. Okay. So my shout-out? Yep.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so my shout-out is to all the dads out there. George, you're included in this. And to my dad for being an amazing dad, and also for Kevin. I wanted to thank him for spending his Father's Day with me at the range. It was really awesome. Yeah.
Awesome.
That's it.
Okay. I got one more thing to add, actually.
Okay.
We were talking last week about the 45s and the 44. Well, I was I was speaking to Sean Humphrey, and apparently he shot the 45 for years and reloaded a lot for it. And he also got coached by John Lindbergh of Lindbergh Custom 6 Gun of Wyoming. Mm. And I've seen some of this guy's wheel guns in some of the magazines, and this guy makes some amazing high-powered revolvers. So Sean's going to do up a little article for me and send it in, and we're going to use it on the show.
He just sent me a friend request. So
super.
Just now?
This week. So probably because Thomas was initiating the conversation with him. So that's cool.
But it'd be awesome. I've read some of the some articles on the guns that this guy produces, and they're just, I mean, you'd love these things. Like he soups up old Rugers and makes into like 455s and single action. I think he mostly does single actions, probably some double action twos, but the guys, I mean, high power revolvers.
It'd be good to get it. Yeah, it'd be. What did he say about? Can you? I know people do it, but can you top load the 45 to the 44? The stuff that I read, people were saying that they've done it, but unless you really know what you're doing and who's doing it for you, don't.
Well, then I guess we'll have to have Sean come on to tell us why. Because this guy works with 45s.
Right.
So I believe there was a 455 Lindbergh. So this guy makes wheel guns designed for high power, high velocity hunting.
Well, and you know, I got to kind of continue on this. I got thinking about it, and last week he had mentioned about hunting. And I, for whatever reason, I had my pistol stuck in my head, but there's no reason why I can't take my lever action 45 out hunting.
No.
So the
right bullet would be good for deer.
So the 44, I get it is a valid hunting round in Canada. Because I think I made the comment of we can't hunt with pistols in Canada, so you know it doesn't matter to us. But I totally forgot about the lever actions. There's no reason why you can't take your lever pistol cartridge out.
And people do. The 357 is a good round in lever action for deer.
Say, I think I've even heard people say they've hunted with 350 with the 357 Magnum.
Oh yeah, I know a few people have. It's a little. I go to a 44 for bear.
Can you take a deer down with a 357? Really?
People do. I use my 44. I took my 44 lever action hunting for deer.
Yeah, I could see 44 because that's a huge chunk of lead.
Why though?
You just took out my closing comments, somebody.
No, it's me.
My hands are nowhere near the keyboard, so.
If you scroll down, you'll see the EOTech. I put an EOTech picture on there for you.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Anyways.
All right.
See, while you guys talk about that stuff, I go and search the internet.
I know. While you and Thomas are talking, I'm generally doing the show notes, but I've been slacking tonight, so I'll have to do them after the show while I'm editing. So hopefully I can get that picture out, because that's a cool picture.
You can just compress it, just make it a little smaller there. I just copied and pasted it from the site that I got it, so it was pretty big.
All right, closing comments. Anything else? Bueller.
Nope, nothing for me.
Bueller.
Thomas.
Hey, son.
I can still hear you clicking in the background.
Oh, that's my lock.
There you go. I sneezed and turn my microphone off.
Okay.
Sorry.
Closing comments?
I just say, Mom, thanks for spending Father's Day with me. I had a good time shooting with you, Club.
That's awesome.
She loves shooting with me, so I'm trying to talk her into getting her license. She's humming, but be nice.
That'd be cool. Because then she can start buying guns.
Yeah, birthdays and Christmases would get better again.
Every.
Well, she bought me my first gun. First
every
two guns.
This is kind of maybe a morbid thing to say on Father's Day, but every gun my dad buys is a new gun for me sometime in the future.
It's true.
Happy Father's Day, George's dad.
I can say that because I say that to his face. So it's not that I haven't said right directly to him.
Yeah, but you know the pink one's not going to you.
He doesn't have a pink one. I'm the one buying the pink one. So
if he had a pink one, it would be going to you. Watch him buy one just for your granddaughter.
That's fine. Jessica, if things keep going the way they are, she's 11, so she'll qualify for the youth course. She wouldn't be able to write the test until next February. But I'm going to give it the rest of this year, and if she's still very excited about shooting, that may be a Christmas present for her. Get her signed up for a course, because right now she has to have either me or my dad directly supervising her. So it'd be nice for her to be able to just put a pistol and some ammo in front of her and just let her shoot at her own leisure instead of having to wait for my dad or I. So
it'd probably improve her confidence.
Yeah, she's super awesome. She is really good.
We'll have to go shooting after one time.
Alright, so my closing comments are join the NFA or the CSSA. I know there's a lot of drama with the NFA. Hopefully they can get past all this rubbish. Because they did serve a very useful role in the firearms industries or culture. So hopefully they can get their house back in order, because I kind of miss the NFA.
I'm joining on Friday.
And the CSSA, well, you know, nobody knows what they do because nobody ever hears from them. But join them anyways.
Tony Show.
Now that I've just slammed both of our gun lobbies, join them. And while I trash talk them, join them. But anyways, I'm a member of the CSSA. I became a member before I even joined a club, before I even knew. The day my license came in, I went in looking for a gun lobby. I came across CSSA, and I signed up. So ever since then, it's a club requirement, but I was signed up before. Actually, I'd probably drive my club nuts, because when you join the club, they sign you up for the CSSA, so your membership and your dues and everything all correspond, because I signed up like 6 months before. They got to hold back my membership dues, and then it's a mess for them. But anyways, so I may be a little critical of them, but I am a member, and I'm not a member of NFA, I was, but it's lapsed. Anyways, I'm going to stop now.
I'm actually joining on Friday. I contacted Tracy Wilson, and she's bringing an application up to the charity shoot, and we meet them at the bar, and I'm going to join the NFA.
There you go.
Do you think it's going to be, they were looking for members to, I don't know if they have a cutoff date when they needed everybody to sign up for. Do you know
she when says they're going to try one, it's coming up, I think she said they're going to try one more push, and if not, they're going to try again.
Okay.
She wants to get one more push. She posted on her Facebook page just before the show. I didn't really look at it in detail, but she said that's what they need. I think they're a little bit shy.
Oh, the numbers? Okay. Yeah.
Well, maybe I should get off the pot and get signed back up for them as well.
Didn't somebody post that on our page?
You did.
This week? Get off the fence? Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So if you haven't signed the petition, please... to keep the NFA alive and well, sign the petition for them. Some changes need to be made, and the only way they can make it is if they get that 5% to have the vote.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. So,
okay.
I guess we'll close off the show. So, until next time, keep your barrels pointed downrange and smoking.
And take a kid shooting.
And Kelly?
Still got nothing.
Still got nothing.
You gotta have something.
I get, I don't know, yeah,
and
no.
Thomas, don't you dare. You can snort all you want. Have a good week, guys. We'll catch you next week.
You Emma. Too. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for taking the time and listening to our show. Our audience is important to us, and we encourage our listeners to contact the show with feedback, suggestions, or questions that you may have. You can contact the guys at hosts@newshootercanada.ca. And please like our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and have a groovy day. God made the animals, and God made the trees.
God made you, well, hell, he even made me. He gave me this voice so I could be a singer. So you tell me why I've got a trigger finger. I like guns, I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small. They're for sale, well, hell, I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.